But for this morning's text, I'd like us to start off with Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, which of course most of y'all know, Isaiah is one of my most favorite books in the Bible. I often go to it whenever I'm looking for comfort or to uplifting or encouragement. The title for this morning's message is The Promise of God's Protection. And we see this from Isaiah, the first 10 chapters, if you would go with me there. It says, "Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nations before him and made him ruler over the kings? Who gave them as dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow? Who pursues them and passes safely, but the way he had not gone with his feet? Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. The coastland saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. Then he fastened with the pegs that might not totter. But you, O Israel, are my servant Jacob, who I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham my friend. You who I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest regions, and said to you, You are my servant. I have chosen you, have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Holy Father, who has revealed yourself to us, redeemed us, Lord, from our sins, and reconciled us unto yourself, who has called each and every one from all over the world, we rejoice, Lord, in your loving kindness and in your promises. Help us, O God, to overcome our fears and our doubts. Uphold us with thy mighty right hand and strengthen us. We pray that you will increase our faith in you, O Lord, our love for you, and our devotion to you. In Jesus Christ's blessed name, we ask this and pray. Amen. It is doubtful that there has ever been a generation as frightened as ours is today about the unfathomable present and the unknown future. We have wars now on almost every single continent brewing. If the wars in the Middle East and Africa were not enough, we even have the drug wars in the South. And make no mistake, it is a serious war. There are dozens of people being killed every day. This is a real war. Now we have North Korea, who has absolutely nothing to lose. I mean, these people are broke. They're literally starving to death. Their leader is completely insane, and, you know, they're dying off. They have absolutely nothing to lose. The only thing that has them going for them is they have peace treaties with Russia and China, which are, of course, the biggest nasties out there. And this could literally turn into World War III at the drop of a hat. We have our own nation on the verge of another Great Depression, with the government trying their best to spend their way out of it, which is something that is impossible to do. We have a government run by liberal politicians on both sides who are trying to globalize our country, that is, make it accessible to everyone, don't want to hurt anyone's feeling, want to be everybody's buddy, want to accept everybody, want to make everything all right and legal. And we have them trying to turn us or pervert our ways and turn us away from God and lead us to these liberal ideas of gay marriage, abortion, and all these other things. And we live in one of the most scariest times imaginable. There has never been a time when God's children needed the encouragement, the support, and comfort of these few words, "Fear thou not," more than we need them today. If we only claim them for ourselves, for our own, these challenging words will be a sheltering shelter beneath God's wings. Will protect us by His omnipresence and provide us immeasurable and unfailing love. I want us to look at the fivefold promise here of God's protection in this text. First of all, verse 10 is the main text we're going to be looking at here. It says, "Fear not, I am with thee." These are encouraging words that derive their value from the one speaking them. Otherwise, we need to realize this is not Isaiah saying this. This is God speaking directly to us. We need to realize that who this is. This is God. He has never once made a promise that has not been kept or a prophecy that has not been fulfilled. God's promises should cheer us and inspire us with fearless and calmness that should inspire others around us. Our circumstances and surroundings may seem dark and discouraging, but we shall be safe when God is with us. He is fully enabled to cope with any situation, regardless of how serious it may be. He is equal to every emergency. Most of life's perplexing problems will vanish when we realize that God is with us. The assurance of His presence with us applies to our struggles and afflictions and trials. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19. The Lord again tells us this, "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor the brightness shall be your moon given to your light, but the Lord will be you an everlasting light, and your God your glory." In other words, heaven and earth may pass away, the sun may burn out, the stars may burn out, the world may burn up, but God will always be God, and God will always be there. His words will never vanish. Again, we see that Jesus promises, He says that even though the heavens and the earth pass away, there's not one little jot, not one little diddle, not one little comma or period from the law or from God's word will pass away. They will remain and will be carried out. We have that promise. It is good to know that God is with His children in the midst, even in the worst times. Psalms 2 and 4, from Psalms 23, I'm sorry, 23 verse 4, which again is a very familiar psalm to most everybody and probably one of everybody's favorites. I want to look at the fourth verse particularly here at this psalm. Says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of enemies." In other words, David's saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, yea, though I go through the worst imaginable time possible, I will fear no evil." Says, "I've got God with me. God is on my side. I've got nothing to fear. Yes, I'm going through some difficulty. Yes, you know, David lost his son, lost his kingdom, lost all these things." He said, "I've got nothing to worry about, though, because God is with me. God will go with me through the dark places. I have nothing to fear." Even in the midst of our greatest enterprises or unusual responsibilities or strenuous labors, it should impart to us joy and peace that surpasses all understanding, as the Bible says, that confounds and perplexes the world around us, the world of darkness. It is impossible to explain fully the exhilaration and joy that the children of God have in the knowledge and trust of their nearness to Him, who is sufficient for all emergencies, who will go with us through the dark valleys and bring us back to the mountaintops again. His presence does not mean, as we just seen in the Psalms, that we will not have to go through trials, but it dispels the fear when going through them. It says to them, "I will go through there with you." I'm reminded of that poem, "Footprints in the Sand," where a man was standing before God talking about when God was looking back on his past life. And he says, "Lord, I see in the footprints in the sand when I go through my worst times in my life, when I was going through the greatest difficulties. He says, Lord, I just see one set of footprints. Where were you, Lord, when I needed you?" The Lord turned to him and said, "Those one set of footprints were mine. They were when I carried you through these dark times, when I brought you through them." And that's what we have in this promise of God here, is that He will go with us. He will carry us through these. It should dispel any fears as we're going through them. As we realize that, "God, you are the potter, I am the clay. Do with me what you will, Lord. I have trust in you." It should increase our strength and our faith when we hear Him say, "I am with you." This assurance of God's presence is not only comfort, but it is a challenge also. Not only begets comfort and confidence, but it should also call us to obedience. We've been talking this morning in Bible class about the Israelites, and just because they were Israelites born into that doesn't mean that they had things they had to do in order to receive God's protection and mercy. Exodus chapter 19 and 5 says, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be my kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God saying says, if, there's no such law of ifs and there says, if you obey my voice, if you keep my commandments, says, you will be a special treasure to me. I will hold you close to my heart. So this should also inspire us to obey God's word, knowing that if we obey his word, that he will be there with us. The next promise I want us to look at here is, it says, I am thy God. It says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Again, be not dismayed, for I am the God. But not be not dismayed may be translated, look not around you in fear or wondering. Meaning, do not focus your eyes upon your environment or on your circumstances. If you look around you today, you will see trouble on every hand, and maybe wonder, you know, what will happen to you tomorrow. But God says, I am your God. This, in fact, implies the infinite of his love and unspeakableness of his mercy. On our part, I am thy God implies three different things. One, reverence. Not the big man upstairs or things of that thing. Realize he is God. Again, we talked about Bible class this morning. How people think that, yes, just because I'm not an evil person, maybe just because I do a few good deeds, that's going to get me into heaven. We need to realize that this is the creator of the universe. This is God Almighty. In order inspiring us fear and reverence, not just flippancy. People think of him as, you know, like I said, they get that image of that old grandfather up in heaven, or maybe that George Byrne character in Oh God, that John Denver in, or now they've got that Bruce Almighty and things of that nature, where they portrayed God as this quirky old grandfather who, you know, who will let you slide. But that's not who God is. God is God. We need to have reverence for him. Amen. Next thing it implies is submission. He is God. We are his creation. We are here to serve him, not the other way around. People look at God like he's there to serve us. He's there to meet all of our needs and things of that nature. It's not that way. It's the other way around. And lastly, obedience. If we choose not to obey, well then, in 1 Samuel 12, 15, if you go with me there, we can choose either to obey or to disobey. First Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. It says, however, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your father. Again, we talked about this morning that Joshua says, no, choose this day who you will serve. We need to get off the fence and obey God. God says, I set before you this day life and death. Pick which one. There's no third path to go through. We either go through and obey God, or we just choose not to and we suffer death. There's only two possibilities. The third promise that we have here in Isaiah is, it says, I will strengthen you. All who have truly believed on Jesus Christ certainly have the right to claim this glorious promise as with every other promise in the Bible. It is enough to know that we shall never be in a position where God, who is adequate for all of our circumstances and mercies, cannot strengthen us. He will always be with his own. Remember what we looked at earlier? He says, if you obey me, you will be my cherished possession, my own chosen possession. He will always be with his own in sustaining power. He will infuse strength into our fearful hearts and invigorate our spirits when we are confronted with some gigantic task or some duty that seems just overwhelming to us. It is strengthening to know that there is nothing that is too difficult for God. No matter how seemingly impossible a task is, nor how heavy the load is, he is resources will be sufficient. In our weakness, we need the strength that He promises, and He can always impart, and that He alone can impart. Jesus says, "As lo, I am with you, even to the death and beyond." And again, the Holy Spirit tells us that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us.
Amen.
Again, we have Jesus' promises. "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you." That is, come under the yoke. The yoke is designed for two oxen to work together. Jesus says, "Come, get under the yoke with me. Let me pull you along with me. Let me bear and share your burden with you." He says, "For my yoke is not too difficult." In other words, He will help us to get through these tough times. The fourth promise we have in this is, of course, "Yes, I will help you," the Bible says. God's promise, "I will help you," suggests that we have something to do. Not "I will do it for you" while you sit back and do nothing, or you sit back and just watch, but we must do something. God's doing His part, and we must do our part also. We have something to do, and God will help us to do that task. It speaks of cooperation in a glorious thing. The promise literally means, "I will render you personal assistance. I will render you aid." It implies that we are going through life's pathways. We will have burdens to bear. There's no way around that. We will have burdens to bear and dark valleys to go through, but that they will not be too heavy for us. We will need help from God when we are taxed beyond our ability physically, mentally, and spiritually. God is both willing and able to give us all the help we need as the need arrives. He may not help us just in the time and in the manner we desire, because our ways are not always the best, but He will always help us the best possible way. Jesus promised us when He was left this world, says, "I will send you another." That means one that is just like Him, to a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us to get through these difficult times. He will never leave us, never depart us again. And the last promise I'd like for us to look at here is in verse 5 says, "I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness." The grasp of that hand signifies present close friendship. You always heard it say, the right hand of friendship. Now, God says, "I will be there for you." The right hand is also an emblem of power in the Bible and strength. There is no right hand stronger than God's. And in this verse, it signifies an omnipotent power, a power that is beyond imagination, a power that has no limits, no exhaustion. With God, there is not any sinister or left-handed work. It is all right-handed work. His faithful and victorious right hand can be relied upon to support those who have placed their trust in Him, who have surrendered everything to Him. God will never fail us to uphold us with His own right hand. You see, we are God's own chosen people, and if God does not uphold us with His mighty right hand, if we fail, then as God's chosen people, then God fails, in sort of speak. So God will always uphold us and render us service when we need Him, if we trust Him, if we put our faith and trust on Him. And His strength will be sufficient for all our needs. The assurance of His presence and power is the source of all courage that danger cannot dispel, suffering cannot exhaust, and death cannot destroy. Whenever I think about God's right hand of power, it always brings my mind back to Peter. It says, "But when Peter saw the wind and boisterous waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, beginning to fall under the water, beginning to drown, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately," the Bible says, "immediately Jesus stretched out His right hand and caught him and brought him back safely into the boat and safely to the other shore." And that image has just always been burned into my mind of Peter doing that. Peter, you know, starting to sink, starting to falter and to fail, and is crying out to Jesus, and Jesus instantly reaching down and picking him up and bringing him safely through. That has just been burned into my mind. And, you know, that whenever I hear God's right hand, that is always what I think of. Oh, there's a song out there by Nicole Mullins. "I Know My Redeemer Lives," and talks about how God will move heaven and earth out of His way when I call, how He will come to rescue me no matter what. And that just always burns in my mind about God's mighty right hand. There is no greater encouragement that can surpass that which is contained in these five glorious promises of God to His children who claim them and apply them. But, you know, we have to do that. We have to claim them. And we have to trust in them and apply them into our lives. John said it best in John chapter 5, verse 11. He says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written you, that you may believe in the name of who the Son of God is, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know, you know, God and who is." The Bible tells us that all these things happen, all these things in the Old Testament are there, that we may know God, that we may grow in faith and grow in understanding. God says, made these five promises to us, but they're ours to claim. We must claim them and believe in them and trust in them. My question to you today as we close is, do you know Jesus today? Is He your personal Savior? Has God called you out of all the corners of the earth or from wherever you was at from the life of sin as He did these? Have you accepted these promises and salvation as your own? Have you allowed Him to pick you up out of the waves, to pick you up out of sin and out of death, and bring you into His boat, to bring you safely to the other shore? If not, I encourage you today to reach out and take His hand. Take that mighty right hand of Jesus this very hour, this very second, and let Him rescue you from the waves, for it is everlasting too late. If there is any way whatsoever we can help you do anything, we stand ready to aid any assistance we can as we stand and sing.